It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Orienteering is a sport where participants navigate through a natural landscape with nothing but a map and a compass, seeing who can complete a course first.
It was created in the late 1800s in Europe, and now it's catching on in the U.S. To learn more, we're joined by Wisconsinites helping to grow the sport.
Susie Madden is co-president and mapping director of the Badger Orienteering Club and president of On the Map, a nonprofit dedicated to introducing more people to the sport. And Tom Southworth is secretary of the club. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Can you, Susie, start us off with the basics? What are we doing when we're orienteering?
Well, when we're orienteering, we're using a highly detailed map along with a compass to locate a series of markers that have been preset on a course throughout a park. So we use this detailed map, which is marked with these locations of the flags, and we start walking in a series, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until we found them all. A clock is timing us while we're doing it. And when you get back, when you finish your course, you find out how long it took you to do the course. It's super fun, like a treasure hunt in the woods or in a park.
Tom, can you talk about the mix of skills? Because obviously you get to be out in the outdoors and you're moving. There is a serious mental side here of navigating with map and compass too.
Exactly. Sometimes orienteering is called the thinking sport because not only are you out there exercising physically, you're also having to mentally choose routes and decide the best way to go and look ahead to what might be obstacles to get to that next control. And so each control is like a little mental puzzle to go on. You might have to decide, do I want to go out of my way to take a trail or am I going to cut through the woods and try to keep my bearings as I go with my map and compass? So it's definitely a thinking sport and gives you the benefit of both.
Both of you are clearly very into orienteering. Susie, what got you into this sport?
Well, my background is in cartography. I'm a map maker by training and experience. And I'm naturally interested in maps. And when I found out there was a orienteering club in Wisconsin, I checked it out and went to my first event, had a blast the first time. And that was about 17 years ago. And I've never stopped orienteering since then.
And Susie, staying with that mapping, I like maps too. My difficulty is sometimes translating what's on the map to what's in front of my actual face in the world. Is this a challenge for some people, like interpreting the map to the real world there?
Well, it's funny that you ask that. A lot of people think they can't read maps. They think that they don't have a sense of direction. I've heard many people say they just can't read maps. But in fact, there is no such thing as a sense of direction or an innate ability to read maps and interpret them. Anyone can learn how to read a map. And so, yes, we do have people who are intimidated by the idea, it's a teachable skill. And so we actually strive to teach people how to read our map first. We always hold beginners clinics. And it's amazing how what people come away with as far as their ability to interpret the map.
And Tom, what brought you into orienteering?
I did not get in until I was close to 60 years old. A camper. I'd done a lot of wilderness trips with some places where the maps were very rudimentary and often incorrect. So I liked navigating in the wilds. And even though I'm older and I'm much slower than a lot of the contestants, and so I'm definitely not competitive, it's a way for me to get out in the woods and have fun using my brain while I'm out there.
And Tom, did I see this right at events? So in addition to your map and your compass, people have a whistle with them if they're, you know, like me and just get completely lost.
They do have a whistle. And even though they're not allowed to use cell phones, they're not supposed to, according to the rules of orienteering. At our events, we always have a list of the cell phone numbers of people out in the woods so that if something seemed to be awry, we could attempt to contact them. And we're also aware of what route they're supposed to have taken. So it's not like, we hardly ever have to use that. Mm-hmm. That's not really something that's common to have anything happen to.
And Tom mentioning cell phones, Susie, that makes me think, you know, over my life, I've definitely gone from using paper maps or written out directions to get from point A to point B. Now more and more of us, of course, use GPS. Do you find that people enjoy that experience of not having the computer telling them where to go, but having to interpret them for themselves?
Absolutely. Yeah. People of all ages, older people who remember, you know, having to use maps before GPS came along, appreciate the opportunity to return to that skill and use it. And they see the importance of learning how to read a map. Young people enjoy it because it's something new to them. And they think, oh, cool, you know, check out this map. It shows us that there's going to be a stream coming up at the end of this trail. And sure enough, there's a stream. And they think it's really neat that there's a visual or a drawing of the earth around them, which you don't get from a computer. You don't get the same level of detail and interaction with the map.
If I could add something to that, that's also another one of the big benefits of orienteering. You mentioned Susie mentioned both the older people and the younger people. Studies have shown that older people that take part in these kind of activities, where they're using their brains out in the forest and such, it does do good things for their brains as they age. And then young people, you also get the whole three-dimensional spatial learning that they're getting used to from using these maps. And so I think on both ends of the age group, there's a mental benefit to the sport.
We're talking about orienteering in Wisconsin. We have Tom Southworth and Susie Madden with us. They're both with the Badger Orienteering Club. Susie is also president of On the Map. That's a nonprofit that helps bring orienteering to more people. Tom, you had your first event of the season, I understand, at Blue Mound. I was looking at the results on your website. How'd the event go?
Well, I think the courses were great. Congratulations to Susie on that, because she was one of the main setters for the course. If you looked at the result, you can see that I was the slowest time on the intermediate course, and which is fine with me. My goal was to get through it, find all the controls, and get back within about 3 hours, which I accomplished. So that's just an example of the fact that you can, it's a sport that you can kind of have your own goals and have your own level. You don't need to be competing with the 25-year-old ones that are running through the woods and accomplishing it in an hour.
Susie, what goes into setting a course for orienteering?
Well, the first thing you need is an up-to-date map. And that's a real challenge for any orienteering club, is the actual creation and maintenance of maps. The parks are always changing. Trails come and go. Vegetation becomes thicker or is clear cut. The earth is always changing, so maps are always changing. But a course setter needs a good map to start with. And then what they also need is a lot of experience orienteering. So you have to understand what makes a fun route choice and a challenging route choice for advanced orienteers, so that they are challenged, and you have to know where to keep them away from trails so that they can't default to an easy route. And for beginners, you have to be able to understand what, you know, just their level of comprehension is and design an easier course for them, but still very interesting.
Susie, that makes me wonder, you know, sometimes you're at parks, state or otherwise, and there are signs saying, hey, stay on the trails. Obviously, orienteering is an off-trail activity. How do you coordinate with the venue to make sure it's cool to walk through this bit here?
I kind of liken us to hunters, you know. Hunters wander, and they don't stay on the trails. They wander in the woods during hunting season. And so the parks really don't have, the state parks at least, don't have a problem with us on a very limited basis, having 1 to 2 events at a state park per year. Our numbers, our participation numbers are relatively low. We get 75-ish people at each event. So that's really not a lot of people traipsing through the woods off trail at a park on an annual basis. We have a really good relationship with the state of Wisconsin. They want to see their parks being used. And most park authorities have that that same goal. You know, they're there for the public to use the land.
Tom, if somebody's listening thinking, yeah, this sounds cool, but I've never done it before, how can somebody take this up? How can they get started?
Well, first thing I would recommend checking our website for more information. It's badgerorienteering.com. That'll give our upcoming events. And each event has a beginner's clinic, like Susie mentioned, but they can register online. But they can, if somebody shows up for their first event and they do go to the beginner's clinic, they'll be certainly ready to go on the beginner's course. And I was on the intermediate course yesterday, and I met a few people that was their first course, and they'd been to the beginner's clinic, and they decided to try the intermediate course, and they seemed to be doing fine. I mean, they beat me because I'm slow. I think that the nice thing is they can expect something that they can tailor to their own level.
Oh, and Tom, I should ask, people might be wondering, you know, Rob shows up at the finish line. How do you know I actually followed the course and didn't just sneak off on a trail? I got to get punched along the way, right?
Exactly. We have these things we call them finger sticks, and they just slide like a ring on your finger, and it's electronic. And each control that Susie described has a little monitor on it that you stick it in the hole, or you wave it near it, and it gives a little beep and it lights up. And when you get done, you can you punch in and they get all your splits, how much time you took on each control. And later on when you get home or either late that day or the next day, you can look online and you can kind of see how you did on each leg.
Susie, as I mentioned, you're not just with the Badger Orienteering Club and you set these trails, but you've got this nonprofit called On the Map. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing with On the Map to spread the word?
Well, On the Map is an organization that's focused primarily in Madison and Dane County. And we try to bring events to students, schools. We put events on for scouting troops, groups, people who want an organized activity and want to learn about orienteering. And I consider these events sort of a feeder to the Badger Orienteering Club events, which are located a little bit more distant. We operate out of mainly four state parks in Wisconsin. It's a drive to get to these parks. For a lot of people, they'll travel 1 or 2 hours to get to one of our events. So I try to introduce the sport more locally at a grassroots level and just build the orienteering base and spread the word about orienteering. And there are a couple other similar organizations around the state that do the same thing. There's one in Eau Claire and there's someone in Green Bay that are working on more of a local level just to get people involved. And I will just quickly mention that in Europe, where orienteering is a really big deal and a very popular sport, every town or city will have their own orienteering club, and they will put on events and travel to each other's events. So it's much more distributed over in Europe, and I think that's why they've been able to grow the sport and make it so popular over the years.
All right, I got to ask the tough question here for both of you. Let's start with Tom. Have you ever gotten lost, or what's the closest you've come to getting lost on an orienteering mission, Tom?
I have had times where I was coming out of a wooded area and I was turned around and I got to a trail, and thinking I was going one way on the trail, I was foolish and didn't check my compass. And so I walked maybe a quarter, half a mile along, and something didn't seem right with the map. And I had to stop and take a look at it and figure out what I had actually done and then fix it. So it was a lot of extra steps to go where I was going. But it's hard to get completely lost, because generally speaking, you've got your compass and you're going to know, if I just go, say, east, I'm going to hit that county road. You know, you're not going to get lost where you can't figure out a way out.
And how about you, Susie?
Yeah, like Tom said, there is, it's not really getting lost. It's getting disoriented. And I have been disoriented many times. I've done foolish things, even after I became an expert orienteer. When I'm out on the course, maybe halfway through a 2-hour course, my brain gets tired as well as my body. And so I have turned myself around in the wrong direction, maybe had my map pointing south instead of north, and have walked to the edge of a cliff thinking I was walking to a road. Luckily, I didn't step off the cliff.
Yeah, I haven't I haven't done orienteering myself. I've done a lot of disorienteering, though. We'll leave it there. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Well, you're very welcome. Glad to be with you.
And Susie, thanks for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
That was Susie Madden, co-president and mapping director of the Badger Orienteering Club, and the club secretary, Tom Southworth. They talked with us about the sport after their first event of the spring season.